to preach to you for just a moment of time on the subject of greater than Solomon. Solomon was not a natural individual. He was a promised child. Solomon was the forgiveness of God to a man who loved God but who committed a terrible crime and terrible sin with a lady by the name of Bathsheba. God took one child that was born and said, "Now, David, I'll forgive you of this sin that was committed, and I'm going to give you another son. His name shall be called Solomon, because he shall be a seeker after wisdom." Solomon was so great in his life that they named the richest El Dorado gold mine ever discovered Solomon's mines. The Jewish people hold the name Solomon in such a reverence that very little of their people are named Solomon. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a greater than Solomon, a superior than Solomon, a more vast than Solomon. Solomon, for just a little figures off of the top of my mind, Solomon built a house. Would you allow me to describe some part of this house to you? It took him 13 years to build this house. He had 82,000 people that worked on this house. Solomon's home cost $4 billion. And $500 million to build. While the United Nations buildings, with all of its electronical devices, all its mechanical devices, it didn't even cost $1 billion. And yet Solomon's house, without one elevator, or one escalator, or one electric light bulb, cost $4,500,000. Solomon's house cost more money than Franklin Delano Roosevelt spent in the reconstruction year of the WPA. Solomon had 14,000 chariots. He had 12,000 mounted cavalry men in his private army. One man alone paid Solomon $7 million a year in taxes. One man. Solomon was the first recorded billionaire that ever lived. And his immense wealth would make Paul Getty, Lamar Hunt, Clint Murchison, and Howard Hughes make them look like pool hall dealers. Solomon had more money than the city of Detroit. Solomon had more money than General Motors. Now you're kind of getting an idea now, aren't you? And yet Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is in your midst." I know a few congressmen Marshall, who was a United States Senator. I know a few governors. I know some of the greatest sports figures that ever lived, like Lewis, Joe Lewis, Jack Dempsey, Primo Carnera. I know great sportsmen today in the football world. But all of the people that I know put together are not a drop in a 1,000-gallon bucket to one that I know. And his name is called Jesus. Thank God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ never marshaled an army. He never fired a shot. More than 1,900 years ago, there was a man that was born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He did not travel extensively. Only once did he ever cross the boundary of his line of the nation he was born in, and that was when he was seeking refuge. He possessed neither wealth nor influence. His relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential people and had neither training nor education. Yet in infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the courses of nature, walking upon the billows as if it was Fifth Avenue in New York City. And he hushed the raging sea to a calmness sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charges whatsoever for his service. He never wrote a book, and yet all of the libraries of this country could not hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all of the other songwriters combined together. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students as this man called Christ. He never practiced medicine, and yet he has healed more broken hearts and more broken homes than all of the doctors far and near. He never marshaled an army, nor fired a shot, nor drafted a soldier. And yet no leader ever had more volunteers who held under his orders, made more rebels stack their arms and surrender without a shot ever being fired. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, when I just start to tell you about this man called Jesus, it excites me. It thrills me, and I get goose pimples up and down my spinal cord, and my blood rushes to my forehead, and the palpitation of my heart reaches a high point, for I'm talking about a man that's never been like Jesus Christ. He ever seventh day, the wheels of commerce cease their turnings, and multitudes wind their way to establishments to worship and pay homage to the Son of God. The names of the past and proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone, but the name of this man abounds more and more. Though time has spread 1,900 years between that time and this time, yet he still lives.
Glory.
Herods could not kill him. Nero's could not burn him. The Pharisaical priesthood could not destroy him. and the devils of hell could not hold him because he came forth. Hallelujah. 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 When I begin to talk about a greater than Solomon, I wish to God that somebody else was preaching the sermon and I could sit out there and listen to it. I preached this sermon right down the street of Birmingham, Alabama, with one man sitting in a little old Volkswagen bus, and a one man followed us sitting on the other side for 15 blocks waiting for the red lights to catch us and then to opening his ear to hear what I was preaching to the preacher boy. Following us 15 blocks. I've had the policeman to say, "What is that you said?" And I kept on preaching. It thrills my soul. It causes me to feel like a wild man. It makes me feel 10 feet tall, as if I could run through a troop and jump over a wall when I talk about Jesus Christ. The greater than Solomon. Hallelujah. Oh, dear God, you're dead tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you who this Jesus Christ is. He is the fourth man. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet likened unto Moses. We go on and on and on and on to discover this greater than Solomon. We find in Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is the judge and the lawgiver. In Ruth, he is the kinsman and the near redeemer. In Kings, he is the reigning king. He's the seed of the lamb, the Paschal lamb. He's the pearl of great price, the man with the drawn sword, the shield, the sword, the buckler, the high tower, the eternal refuge. He's the pearl of great price, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. Hallelujah. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Glory, glory. I think of how great and how marvelous and how glorious Jesus Christ is. And to think I know him personally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Uncle Buddy Robinson one time went to a man's house to win the man to Jesus. The man was a great noted atheist. He was a lawyer in the state of Arkansas in the town of Little Rock. And this great lawyer said to him, "Sit down, Mr. Robertson." He took him to his vast library. He said, "Do you know anything about Voltaire?" And old Uncle Buddy the Nazarene, stammering, tongue-tied, impediment speech man, said, "No, sir, that I don't think I ever met the gentleman." He said, "Do you know anything about Thomas Paine?" He said, "Well, said, it seemed like I heard his name before, but I don't know rightly why I know him or not." He said, "Well, how about Darwin?" And he said, "No, sir," said, "I'm sure I wouldn't forget a name like Darwin." He said, "Well, how about Atkinson?" And Uncle Buddy Robertson by this time said, "No, sir," said, "I don't think I know any of your friends." Said, "Let me ask you something. Do you know Jesus?" And the old atheist looked up and said, "No, I don't know Jesus." And he said, "Bless God, then you are in good luck, because I know him personally. And if you just take a hold of my hand, we'll kneel here. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Have you met my Jesus? Are you acquainted with the shepherd of my soul? Do you know the near redeemer and the man that has brought salvation to us? Behold, a greater than Solomon." Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, If you don't get any more excited than what you are, I'm going to have me a fit all by myself. Glory to God. And I mean it. I mean it. You may have brought some visitors out, and you may have brought some of your friends out, but that's your tough luck, honey. That's your tough luck. Hallelujah. Oh, when I begin to think about this man called Jesus.
All right.
When I begin to think how that he can heal the individual with leprosy. Hallelujah. And my little boy, I've told you before, down in the camp meeting in Georgia, we had prayed for 500 people one night until I was utterly exhausted. Perspiration run down my body until I had no dry clothes on. Even my socks were squashing in my boots. And there was many marvelous things that happened. God healed them by the scores and the dozens in front of our midst. And I looked back at my 16-year-old boy and I saw him crying. And I watched him as he cried. And when service was over and I was laying down before I got in the car to drive away that night, I said, "Honey, what you crying about?" He said, "Daddy, did you see? Do you remember the old blind man that you prayed for that his wife led him down?" And I thought and I said, "Yes, I believe so. He was gray-headed and partially bald-headed." He said, "That's him, a little man, an old man." I said, "I remember him." He said, "Daddy, I don't guess you saw him as he walked back because the crowd was too large, but said he was blind and his wife led him down." I said, "What about it, son?" He said, "When they passed me tonight leaving the church, he was leading her." Hallelujah. Thank God. My Jesus, my Lord and my shepherd, greater than Solomon. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you about a shepherd that knows all of his sheep. I'm telling you about a world who said, "I bought him. I made him. He's mine twice." Hallelujah. A greater than Solomon. I'd give $1,000 if my congregation could feel what I feel when I preach. Hallelujah. You say, "Preacher, you're unusual to say the least." Yes, sir. But he is greater than Solomon. Glory, glory, glory. When Solomon was born, they sang for 3 weeks. Yes, sir. For 3 weeks, there was festivity. And a great festival occasion for 3 weeks. And they got out in the streets and they roamed the streets and they talked about how beautiful it was. But when Jesus Christ was born, the angels came down and sang out of the heavens above. Glory! Hallelujah! When Jesus Christ was born, there came a star and shone in the heavens. Solomon was great and Solomon was wonderful. But brother, Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of Matthew, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Hallelujah. I was preaching one time in California. Man had heard of me, met me, and came out to hear me. He came in a little bit late, and I'd already started preaching. And all through the service, I kept noticing, nudging somebody, and act like there's arguing. And I didn't know what it was all about. When service was finally over, the man came up, and the man that was sitting beside him, and said, "Aren't you E.L. Terry?" And I said, "Of course I am. Friend, it's good to see you here tonight. And I spoke to the man that I'd invited to come out. He said, I don't remember seeing you before. And said, I come to hear a guy from Texas preach. I met him in the grocery store. And I come out to hear him tonight. And where is he? And I said, why, it's me. He said, no, you don't look the same. You don't look the same. He said, I'm sorry, there's a difference about you. There's a change. You sound a little bit like him, but he doesn't look it. And the longer I talked to him, in about 3 or 4 minutes, my countenance had changed enough until I began to get down. Going crazy. There's nothing unusual about that. When I get to talking about Jesus, I lose all sight of the old EL. I lose sight of what I was and where I am and how far I've gone. I just remember that Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If you go to the belly of hell, I'll go down there with you. If you go to the highest mountain, I'll go up there with you. Jesus said, lo, I am with you all of the way. Amen. Greater than Solomon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Greater in birth. Yes, sir. Solomon had the natural singers, but Jesus had the angelic host singing. But not only that, all of the Bible scholars in and around Detroit probably couldn't tell me even close to when Solomon was born. But God Almighty has fixed it up so good that you can't sign a piece of deed. You can't sign a marriage certificate. You can't even write a check. You can't even get a mortgage. Unless you pay homage to Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Because it says 1972 A.D. Hallelujah. 1972 A.D. That doesn't excite you? Why, God wrapped the dateline of the universe around the cradle of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Every time you look at a calendar, you're reminded Jesus was born. Jesus died. Jesus was resurrected. Hallelujah. Every time you hear a radio broadcast, it reminds you of the words that spoke out of heaven without any volume. Or without any loudspeakers or any radio signals, a voice came from millions of light years away, and it said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. When I see a mountain, I think of Jesus when he went up to pray. When I see a lake, I think of Jesus when he went across on the fishing boat. When I see a highway, I think of Jesus. He said, I am the way and the truth and the light. I'm going to dismiss you in a minute. I'm going to send you all home. And I'm just going to preach to these walls. They got as much life in them as you do. Hallelujah. Glory. You say, preacher, I don't want to miss anything. Well, you get to shouting and I'll stop till you catch up. I just stop till you catch up. Hallelujah. Oh, greater than Solomon. Greater in birth. Uh-huh. He's greater in life, too. Thank God. Old Solomon had his 12,000 cavalrymen, 1,400 chariots. That's a drop in the bucket. Why, Jesus Christ said to my boys, you don't take my life. No man takes my life. I lay it down Somebody said, what do you mean you lay it down? He said, boys, I could call 144,000 angels out of heaven. That's what he said. He said, I could call 12 legion angels. And that's the minimum number. The minimum number is 144,000 he could have called. And brother, just one angel at one time killed 183,000 warriors of the Assyrian army. Just one angel. What in the name of God do you think he did with 144,000 of them? Hallelujah. Solomon can tell you of the past and the present. But Jesus looked at one man. He said, behold, an Israelite in whom no guile is found. And old cousin Nathaniel looked at him and said, how do you know me? He said, why, Nathaniel, I saw you a while ago when you got up from the fig tree. Hallelujah. Nathaniel said, I just don't understand this. You never laid eyes on me before. I never saw you. He said, did you get up from the fig tree? Yeah, boy. Yes, sir. Said, that's where I come from. He said, I am. Said, who are you? He said, I am before Abraham was. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we all say what an extraordinary psychologist Solomon was. Two women were sleeping together. Both of them had infant children. One rolled over on her baby and smothered it to death. And while the night was going on, this mother realized she'd smothered her child to death, and she took the dead baby and traded places with the other woman's live baby. And when the woman woke up in the morning, she recognized that the dead baby was not hers. So they got in a fuss, and somebody said, let Solomon solve it. Let Solomon solve it. And so they took the two women and the two babies, one dead, one alive, to Solomon. And Solomon looked at him. He said to him, I tell you, the only way I can figure this thing out is that we'll just take the live baby and cut him in two. I'll give you half and I'll give you half. The mother who really owned the baby and was the real mother to it said, oh, no, it'd break my heart to see my baby dead. No, I'd rather see my baby grow up in her arms and me just catch glimpse of my baby occasionally and know my baby was alive. The other woman said, that's a good deal. Just cut the live baby in two. Oh, and Solomon said, I perceive this is the right woman. Oh, he was a psychologist. He had it down, honey. But now let's look at the scene in a little different light. Let's see two women bringing two babies and one of them's dead to Jesus Christ. Come on now, follow with me. Let's see the woman carrying a dead baby in her arms to Jesus Christ and say, Master, we got a problem. Jesus said, it's all right. He just reached over and lay his hand on top of the dead baby's forehead and just say, wake up. Oh, glory. Just wake up. That's all that's necessary. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You talk about a greater than Solomon? Yes, sirree. Greater than Solomon. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Yeah, I gotta quit after a while. Solomon was a mighty man, a mighty speech maker. But you know what they said about Jesus Christ? They got the best lawyers, all of the Percy Foremans and all the Perry Masons, and they got them all together and sent him out there to find out what Jesus had to say. And take just notice what he's saying now and bring back something we nail him with. Those old Percy Foremans and Lee J. Bailey's and Melvin Belli's and the Perry Masons all come back and said, they said, well, what'd you find out? Said, I'll tell you what we found out. And the other said, no, let's don't tell. Yeah, we better tell them. Well, what'd you find out? Said, I'll tell you, never did a man speak like this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. You know what?
Solomon might have figured out a way for the little woman who was caught in adultery. He might have figured out a way to excommunicate her, but keep her alive. But Jesus Christ looked at her and said, "Little lady, what you got to say for yourself?" And she said, "Nothing." He said, "Where are thine accusers?" She said, "I don't have any, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Glory to God. Oh, Solomon in his great psychology mind might have took the little woman into the well and that had had five husbands and was shacking up with one as it was, wasn't married to him. Solomon might have told her the evils of ungodly and adulterous way of life and got her to change, you know. But he couldn't have satisfied nobody. But Jesus Christ just looked at her and said, "Little woman, if you'd ask me for a drink of water, I'd give you a drink. You'd never thirst again." She said, "How is it that you would say this to me? For the well is deep and thou hast nothing to draw with." He said, "If you drink of this water, you just drink of this water." Said, "That's all of it." She said, "Give me the drink." Glory to God. "Just give me the drink." Hallelujah. When his disciples came back, they found him leaning on the well and said, "We got you something to eat." He said, "I'm not hungry." Said, "Well, master," said, "the day is far spent. You should be hungry." He said, "I have meat that you know not of." Glory to God. All of a sudden, there come a loud clamor from the city. City's about outside Detroit. They didn't have no taxi cabs. They didn't have no trolley cars or no buses. They didn't have no automobiles. They had carriages and walked around on their feet and rode a few burros. And somebody said, "Where is everybody going?" And said, "We're following her." "Well, isn't her that old whore, that old adulteress, that old ungodly woman?" Said, "Yeah." "So what you following her for?" Said, "Man," said, "she's got us convinced there's somebody out there at the well of Sigon that told her all that she ever did." Hallelujah. Oh, you're a dead bunch. I do declare some of you should have stayed home and watched All in the Family or something else. Hallelujah. Listen to me tonight. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Hallelujah. Solomon might have said to Brother Daniel, he said, "Daniel, I'll get you out of the lion's den. I'll pull a few strings. I'm the boss man around here. They can't put you in the lion's den." Solomon might have got away with it. But Jesus Christ did much better than that. Nothing special about that. When they sentenced Leroy Kelly to death, President Richard Nixon said, let's reconsider this matter. They sentenced him to life. President Nixon said, let's reconsider it. Said, I'll tell you what I think we're going to do. He is over there fighting a war for us, and what we're going to do is just give him a house arrest. And Solomon could have got Daniel out of the lion's den just like that. Oh, but we couldn't have told it today like this. Old King Nebuchadnezzar come down and said, "Hey, Daniel! The God whom you serve continually, was he able to keep you and deliver you?" And old Daniel hollered from the bottom of that lion den. He said, "Fret not thyself, O King." Hallelujah. "For the Lord has sent forth his angel and shut to the mouth of the lion, and they did me no harm." Hallelujah, hallelujah. You talk about a greater than Solomon. He could have a picnic lunch in a lion's den. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Behold, a greater than Solomon.
Hallelujah. Brother, there's enough of glory to swim in. Hallelujah. I have got for you one of the most magnificent verses of scriptures that I have ever found in the entire pages of God's Word. It is found in the book of Colossians, the 2nd chapter. Well, you know how I feel? I feel like the man that had gone to church and could not refrain from shouting. He just could not keep from shouting. Just couldn't do it. And they had a new preacher boy there, and he could not tolerate the shouting. And the deacons talked to the man about shouting. Everybody talks to him about shouting. Finally, the young pastor went out and caught him out in the cornfield plowing. And he went up to him and said, "Jimmy, I must talk to you about your loud worshiping of God in church." And said, "Now look, what makes you carry on like you do? What causes it?" And he got off of the back of the old turntable and stepped down beside the young preacher. And he said, "I'll tell you, Pastor. Jesus Christ saved me, and I was a bootlegger. Jesus Christ saved me, and I was a white lightning maker. When Jesus Christ saved me, I was a gambler. I was a curser. I was a blasphemer. I was a whoremonger. I was a woman chaser. I did everything under the book." And said, "One night the blessed light of salvation come to me and said, 'To be perfectly honest with you, it set me free.' And when I get to thinking about what God's did for me, I cannot stand it." Said, "By the way, hold these halters. Hold these bridles. I feel another shout coming on. I feel another touch of glory down deep in my soul. It's enough to make you want to run. It's enough to make you want to shout. Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Stronger than the strong man. Hallelujah. It's beyond me how some people can sit still when the touch of God comes down. Hallelujah. If I was 147 years old, I believe when the glory of God come down, I'd have to move around just a wee bit. Now let's look at that verse of scripture. Colossians, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse. There's somebody that's got a voice like a foghorn. Turn to it. I may have you read it when I get through reading it. Now I don't want no little old Mickey Mouse reading it either, honey. I want you to turn it on if you're going to read it. Colossians 2 and 15. This is talking about Jesus. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them." Oh, that must not move you. Brother, it moves me. It moves me. Cousin Fitch, if you just stand and read that, I think I might shout while you read it. Come on, get up and read it. Glory to God. Listen to him read it now. "And having spoiled, torn down, rooted up, destroyed, moved out, obliterated principalities, wickedness in high place, workers of iniquity, dens of Satan." Great God Almighty, did I understand you right? He said he made a show, put them on public parade. Just did it out where everybody could see it. The Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, this thing was not done in a corner." Hallelujah. It wasn't over in some closet somewhere. Said he did it right out in the graveyard. He did it where 10,000 could see it. He walked on earth for 40 days. He'd walk and eat with them and talk to them and rode in a boat. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He made an openly show. What's the next one? Great God. Thank you. "And triumphing over them." Glory to God. Hallelujah. My brother raises chickens. Fighting roosters. Regular fighting cocks.
And you can take one of those old fighting cocks, and he'll have spurs on him. And then they'll put slashers on him that's 2 inches long, that's razor sharp. You don't dare handle those fighting chickens with your bare hands. You handle them with heavy gloves, and you're careful how you handle them. Well, I was down to his place the other day, and he said, "E.L., I want to show you what a fighting chicken really is." He said, "I've got an old rooster out here that's dying," and said he'll be dead in a day or two. "But I just want to show you what he'll do. He's blind in one eye. He's got a leg that's stiff, and he can't move on it hardly. He limps when he walks. But," said, "I want to show you." Said, "My rooster here that won a tournament, won every prize there was. Now I'm going to put him against that old rooster over there that's no count, that's dying." And he took him out of the pit, or took him out of their pen, and put him in a little old pit and shoved them together, and that old limping rooster, one-eyed and one-legged and was going to die, walked around a little bit like this. And all of a sudden, brother, the old head come up, and when the head come up, he flew. His wings wasn't dead, and he thumped that other chicken, and he thumped him, and then they rolled over, and the other rooster flew up and hit him. And finally, when he killed him, you know what he did? He walked around him, just walked on around him, just walked and walked and crowed and walked and crowed and walked and crowed, and finally flew up on top of him. Glory Shakondele. He said, "Brother, he's triumphed over it." That's what Jesus has done. He's killed him. He's made an open show. He's walked around, and he said, "Here it is, and this is the way it's done." Then temptation. He said, "There is no temptation that is common unto man, but that Christ has endured it and overcome it." Somebody said, "I'm tempted." Somebody said, "My temptations are too great." Brother, you don't know what temptations are. You don't even realize what temptations actually are. The devil took him up on a high mountain and showed him the place and spoke to him and said, "Now look out there. I'm going to give it all to you. I'm going to give you every bit of it." And Jesus said, "I don't thank you. I don't care for any of it. I don't care for any of it at all." He said, "They worship no one but God." Yes, don't worry. He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do." He said, "I want you to go out and change the rocks into bread. You're hungry now. Your bellies are growling." He said, "Man doesn't live by bread alone." Oh, this was after 40 days of not eating, honey. Hallelujah. Brother, he said, "There's no temptation that Jesus hasn't overcome." Somebody said, "I'm bothered by this." Yeah, but Jesus said, "I'll go with you always. Lo, I am with you even to the end." Hallelujah. I wish you was alive tonight, honey. I could do some preaching if you was a little bit alive. But oh, thank God forevermore. Hear me, and hear me well. He is stronger than temptation. He's stronger. Old brother Peter denied him, cursed him, blasphemed, said, "I don't have anything to do with him." But watch him 10 days after Jesus has ascended back into the heavens, and hear him when the Holy Ghost has come upon him. He jumped up on a little old soapbox and said, "Men and brethren, hear you this day. These men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day or 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that Shomilakai that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days will I pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Temptation? Yes, sir. But he overcome the temptation. Somebody said, "I'm tempted to smoke." Yeah, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. Amen.
You let a little old stinking weed keep you from the blessings. Little old stinking, lousy, crummy, smelly piece of weed keep you from the blessings of God. Temptations? Got them on every corner. Everywhere you look, there's temptations. But to hear him say, "I'll make you stronger than the strong man." Oh, glory to God. The Apostle Paul said, it is not I that lives, but it is Christ Jesus who lives within me. Glory to God. Trials, dig this one now, honey. Dig this one. He is stronger than your trial. Glory to God. The trying of your faith just works perfection, that's all. The trying of it, just the trying of it. The trying of your patience, the trying of your faith. The Negro lady said so many years ago when they said to her, Mama, stand and testify. Give us your favorite verse of scripture. She got to her feet and said, my favorite verse says, and these things shall pass. And the elder said, what do you mean these things shall pass? I don't recall any scripture like that. She said, sorrow's going to pass away. Trouble's going to pass away. Heartaches are going to pass away. Difficulties are going to pass away. Hallelujah. Messenger of God. Why, it's an angel. Are a human instrument that carries a message. Well, then what's the messenger of Satan?
Well, it's glaucoma.
Hogwash. It's not any such thing. Glaucoma is a natural native sickness of the eyes. He said, the messenger has buffeted me. The word buffeted means slapped and abused, even to the point of causing contusions and abrasions. Those Jews had stoned him. The Jews had persecuted him. The Jews had put him in prison. He said, I was in prison by in peril of my own countrymen. I was in peril in jeopardy of my life by the barbarian. He said, if after the manner of men I have fought wild beasts at Ephesus, glory to God, right down in the arena. He said, I've been snake bit. I've been beat 3 times, 40 stripes, save one. Said they persecuted me. I sneaked out at night and went over the mountainside or the top of the walls. Said I've been trialed. Oh, but I heard him when he said, Saul, Saul, or called him Paul, and said to him, my grace, glory, is sufficient. My grace, that's all you need. You need another little touch of grace, stronger than the strong man. I hear these rinky-dinky preachers get up, preach these little old Mickey Mouse sermons, don't know any more about the glory of God than a hog does wearing a white shirt. The Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Oh, that I might know him. That I might know him. And he didn't stop there, but he said, in the fellowship of his sufferings. He said, if you suffer with him, know you not, you shall also, what? Reign with him. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If I know him in the power of his resurrection and the glory of his sufferings, what Paul said, I was a night in a dungeon and Silas was with me. You talk about a trial. My back was beaten. The straps was laid on me. I didn't feel like singing. There's no song in my heart. Only ignorant people will say that he sang, I'll fly away. Honey, he didn't feel like walking away, much less a flying away. But I can hear him as he begins to sing, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. Oh, he'll be with me till the end. And about that time, Silas said, Brother Paul, what you singing? He said, I'm singing the 23rd Psalm. He said, how about me putting you in there? and telling you, helping you out. And they begin to sing it together. God Almighty couldn't stand it. God couldn't take it any longer. The Bible said the heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. I believe he got to keep in time. I believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And his big foot or his big toe was so close to the dungeon where Paul and Silas was that he rocked it and he rolled it and he shook them free. Hallelujah! Stronger than the strong man. I'm going to have to stop and pray here pretty soon for the child. I don't want to stop, and I may pick up when I get through praying. Stronger than the flood. Hallelujah. Brother, you talk about a flood. You talk about when the waves come past me about, when the waves surround me. David said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou art a shelter, hast been a shelter for me in the day of trouble. Hallelujah. Stronger than the fire. When they threw the three Hebrew boys in the fire, little did they realize God was going to invent an asbestos suit. Hallelujah. And wrap them up in it. Oh, thank God. He put him inside the asbestos suit. Said, now try to burn him. Come on and try to burn him. The fire got hot. And those that threw him in was destroyed. But brother, listen to me now. It said that not so much as a hair was singed upon him. Nothing. They didn't even as much as smell like the fire. Now you forgive me tonight for acting a little bit foolish. Because I've been nipping on the joy juice all day long. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I got me a quart of that heavenly wine about 8 o'clock this morning. And I've been a sipping on it all day long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the longer I sip, the better I feel. Hallelujah. Stronger than the lions that weighed 700 pounds when he put Daniel in the lion's den. Old Brother Neb's come down. He said, hey, Daniel, thou whom servest thy God continually, was he able to keep you and deliver you? He said, fret not thyself, O king, for the aid of the Lord has sent forth his angel and is shut to the mouth of the lion. They did me no harm, brother. They caused me no trouble. I've used them as a pillar. I've slept on them tonight. Everything's all right. Stronger than a strong man lives.